Greg Milanos, last week, all bad news for the most part, at least in terms of the markets, I should say. This week, boy, Monday and Tuesday felt great. This morning, not so good, but then ended up not all that bad. Is there a possibility people are just itching and hoping so much for a rally that they take the littlest piece of news they can and turn it into one? Or was there something you saw Monday morning or something over the weekend that justifies this little rally we've had?
Well, yeah, I don't think it was a little tiny bit. I think there were three events going back to Monday that emboldened stocks and fueled this oversold bounce. And let's just call them out for what they are. Number one, we had this thing called ISM, and the September ISM declined to barely over 50. And what that signals is some moderation in economic activity.
What does ISM stand for, Craig? Hold on.
Institute for Supply Management.
Okay.
Sorry, we're getting financially nerdy. Remember, John, we live in a place right now where bad news is good news and good news is bad news. Again, you called it the upside down world.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. So here, number one, ISM got slower. What does that mean? Inflation's probably coming down. Second, the Reserve Bank of Australia, this has nothing to do with kangaroos, has everything to do with interest rates. They actually raised rates less than people thought.
Huh.
That's what we call a dovish pivot. They're the first central bank to do that. That was good. And then finally, we got some good news. You mentioned ADP, but I'm going to talk about this. Something called JOLTS,
yep.
Job Opening and Labor Turnover Survey. It fell sharply to 10 million versus the 11 million estimates. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
John, if there's not as many job openings, that means the labor market's not going to be as tight. That means there's not going to be as much wage pressure. We might just be beginning to see the start of a decline in inflation. That's what created this 1,500-point rally over 2 days.
There's still more job openings than people looking for work. So we're still in a good situation for people if they need to try and find a job. But less job openings, do you think that's businesses preparing for a recession, much like before a hurricane, people put up plywood on the windows? I mean, I know it might be good news in the short term for the market, but this could be a bigger thing that is coming down the pipeline.
Well, we need to separate the market from the economy on a timetable, because I think at the end of the day, you and I have talked before that early this year, there was a very decent possibility that we could have a soft landing. Throughout the spring of this year, there was still a remote possibility that we could have a soft landing. Soft landing meaning we quell inflation without having any damage to the jobs market. After all of the fallout from Russia-Ukraine, after the significant lockdowns of zero COVID policy in China that no one anticipated this spring, and the aggressive hiking of the Federal Reserve, no, the possibility of that soft landing really became null. And yes, at some point in time in early 2023, we will likely finally learn that, oh, we're having a recession, but we have to remember that markets typically bottom, what, 6 to 9 months in advance of a recession. And that's what's important for investors to know. But for business leaders, yes, the slowdown in the pace of hiring is getting prepared for lower consumer spending to come.
Is it too optimistic of it for me? Am I putting on two rose-colored glasses that, you know, layoffs ticked up a little bit? Let's say layoffs continue to remain steady, but job openings decrease. Is there a chance that this recession, well, it will, if it comes, which you say is pretty likely and most people agree, let's say the unemployment rate goes up a little bit, but have we stacked enough jobs up, has the labor market been so tight for so long that maybe we survive with not so many layoffs, but just not as much active hiring? Meaning this isn't one of those situations where the company tells you for a couple months, don't worry, no one's getting fired. We're just not, we have a hiring freeze in place. Is that actually possible to sustain throughout this thing?
I actually think it's not only possible, I think it's widely probable. Now, I do want to acknowledge that the labor participation rate has been increasing. And when that labor participation rate increases, that means people are actually coming back to work,
right,
after being out of the workforce for whatever reason for the last 2.5 years. When more people start coming back to work, it naturally drifts up the unemployment rate.
Right.
That was the uptick from 3.5 to 3.7. So all this stuff, John, at the end of the day is fun with numbers. And I think here's what people just need to be prepared for. Markets tend to bottom 6 to 9 months in advance of recessions. we are likely to have a recession in 2023. Hence, I would argue we're going through the process of bottoming in markets right now. That being said, if people know that we're going to have slower economic times ahead, don't get caught with recency bias. Not all recessions look like 08-09. Not all recessions look like 2000 to 2002. A recession can simply be some marginal layoffs, a cessation or a ceasing of hiring, and we just have this soft, shallow recession, and that's what people really should be preparing for. This doesn't look like financial Armageddon where we're going to see widespread foreclosures. That's just not in the cards.
As people look at the next few months and their purchasing habits, whether they're buyers or sellers, and I'm not trying to tell anyone what to do. Everyone has their own individual choices to make and has their own liquid issues or what they need to spend now or not. But for people that miss out on the run-ups after a bear market, they miss out on the sometimes the biggest gains that they'll get, right?
No, so, you know, if someone missed out on the rally of 2020, 2021, and there's a lot of people that did, John.
Yeah.
So many people got head faked, and I understand why. I mean, the economy went into a tree. You hadn't seen anything like this in generations. I understand why people might have sat out and missed it. But this is a call to absolutely everybody. It's also a call to those who maybe sold earlier this year. If you sell and you got some stuff right, well, you got to have a plan to start scaling back in.
Right.
Because if you don't have that plan to scale back in, you never should have sold in the first place. And I would argue being patient and persistent and using just wide scale, let's call that old school dollar cost averaging, that is the secret to success. And people need to realize we're coming into some significant seasonality. I'm pretty sure most bear markets since 1950 have actually ended in what month? The month of October. Scratching my head, just saying.
Before an election, perhaps, sometimes. Okay, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting. I just, when people say that they try and time the market, it's like the simplest way to say that that's never the best plan is you got to be right twice. It's not just getting lucky once. You have to be right when you buy, right when you sell, or vice versa, and that's always harder to do. Craig, we could go on forever, but I appreciate your time, and I know people can go to investwithwmg.com, the wealth management group. You do a lot of great work. Craig, I always appreciate it.
John, my pleasure. Go Hawks.